It's here and now. And here's a thought to ponder. The U.S. has spent more money reconstructing Iraq and Afghanistan than it did rebuilding Germany after World War II. More than $160 billion, according to U.S. government figures. And as the U.S. leaves Afghanistan after more than a decade of fighting, it's leaving billions of dollars in reconstruction projects behind, turning over oversight to private contractors. Rajiv Chandrasekaran of The Washington Post joins us from that newspaper's studios. And Rajiv, first of all, why is oversight of these huge reconstruction projects being turned over to private contractors?
Robin, this is a function of the troop drawdown in Afghanistan. President Obama has pledged to reduce significantly our combat forces there over the course of this year and next year. But as those troops draw down, as they consolidate in a smaller and smaller number of bases around the country, the ability to protect civilian U.S. officials who want to go out and inspect these projects, inspect bridges, roads, dams, becomes far, far more difficult. A big issue here is the time in which it takes to get a medical evacuation helicopter to U.S. government personnel should they be injured while on one of these missions. And the rule of thumb is they have to do this within an hour, which means if they want to travel outside essentially a 30-minute radius by air from one of the small remaining bases, they won't be able to do so anymore. And what that means, according to the Special Inspector General for the Reconstruction of Afghanistan, essentially the government's top overseer of this reconstruction work, that by next year, American officials are only going to have access to about 20% of the country. That leaves vast stretches of Afghanistan, places where we have spent literally billions of dollars to build things, and in many cases, projects still ongoing, that U.S. government personnel, folks from the State Department and the U.S. Agency for International Development, even from the Pentagon, won't be able to set eyes on directly.
Well, you quote the Special Inspector General, just to underscore that, saying that many of these projects will never be seen by an American government employee. And he's concerned about that. But just remind us, what are these projects in these places?
Well, they range from very small things like trying to build schools in villages and health clinics and providing some modest agricultural assistance in remote valleys of Afghanistan to very grand things like hundreds of millions of dollars to build asphalt highways, the rehabilitation of a big dam in southwestern Afghanistan where we're installing a hydropower turbine, the stringing of high-voltage electrical lines around the country. All told, we're talking billions here. And that's not even counting a very extensive program of constructing barracks for the new Afghan army, costing upwards of $80 million, facilities with dozens of buildings. And those are complicated projects. And the issue here for the Inspector General is to ensure that when these things are being built, they're coming in on time and on budget. And then once they're built, that they're actually being used properly.
So oversight of these projects is now going to be these private contractors, and as you said, have to supply their own medevac helicopters if they need them. This won't be something the military is doing. Who are these contractors?
Well, that hasn't yet been decided, at least in the case of the U.S. Agency for International Development. They've put out a request for proposals from prospective contractors, essentially offering them to make some bids on this program, which USAID is estimating to spend about $200 million on over the coming few years. And they want a contractor who will have a number of Afghan citizens who can go out and travel these places, try to blend in with the local population. They want them to be able to use new technologies, like sending people out with digital cameras that will be able to take a GPS coordinate of where that picture was taken, as well as a timestamp, so they can try to ascertain the work that's being done. And they even are looking to try to do some more creative things, like what they call crowdsourcing. And in the context of Afghanistan, that means getting this contractor to try to design programs to solicit the input of Afghans who are supposed to be helped by these projects, trying to get them to report back, maybe by text messages or by other means, to tell them whether or not the project is actually working as it was promised.
Well, Rajiv, while we have you, we want to ask about stalled peace talks between Pakistan, Afghanistan, the U.S., and possibly the Taliban. We're reading that leaders of Afghanistan and Pakistan are meeting today in London. But one of their big concerns is that a senior Taliban member that the Afghans want to be a part of the peace talks seems to have disappeared. He was in Pakistani custody, but the Pakistans say they freed him, so nobody seems to know where he is. That's sort of the number two Taliban guy. The New York Times is reporting about an American raid that seized another senior Pakistan Taliban militant. This is Latif Masood. This was first reported by your colleagues at the Washington Post. Afghanistan also wants him to help with these peace talks that have a deadline coming up of December to come up with something. So what is your sense of what's going on here?
The Afghan government wants access to Mullah Baradar, who is a senior Talib commander who had, a couple of years ago, sought to open a line of communication with the Afghan government. And when he sought to do so, he was apprehended by Pakistani authorities. The stated reason by Pakistan's government is that they found a senior Talib leader. The real reason is that the Pakistani government doesn't want the Afghan Taliban leadership that is living in Pakistan to negotiate their own deal with the Afghan government. Now, on the other hand, the Afghan government, concerned about Pakistan's behavior, worried that with the American troop drawdown, they're going to face increasing threats from Pakistan, has decided to do something to ramp up the intrigue here. They had reached out to the leader of the Pakistani Taliban. This is a Taliban group that has been focused on attacking the Pakistani government, and were in the process of bringing that leader to Kabul for some secret talks. It's believed by U.S. officials that those talks were really not so much focused on reaching peace, but trying to help the Pakistani Taliban continue its attacks on the Pakistani government as a way for Afghanistan essentially to stick a finger in the eye of its neighbor. Now, this scheme was foiled a few weeks ago when American Special Forces soldiers seized this leader.
Oh, can't wait for the novel.
It's the great game of, you know, both sides using these guys as pawns to antagonize their neighbors, to one-up their rivals.
Rajiv Chandrasekaran of The Washington Post, thank you so much.
Good to talk to you.
So your thoughts on the drawdown in Afghanistan or anything on the program, you can leave a comment at hereandnow.org. Shoot a tweet to me at Here and Now Robin or Jeremy.
At Jeremy Hobson.
There you go. We read it all. This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.